Scripture read today in God's Word is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is in Christ. For we were baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made of one part, but of many. So many. Look on that guy's face. Looks like he can bite nails or two. And yet, what the saying is different. But we are all travelers in the wilderness of this world. And the best that we can find in our travels is an honest friend. He gave me this 30 years ago. Right? See, I gave it to him 30 years. And when he was still driving, he come by the house and said, I'm going to give you something. He gave me this picture. That verse says a lot. It'd be good to have friends like
Father, we thank you that you love us, that you teach us how to love, that you love us in spite of our sin and shame, that you love us enough that you would sacrifice your Son to set things right, something that we could never do on our own, not by works of righteousness but which we have done, but according to your riches of mercy and grace. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the fact of the indwelling of your Spirit. And we're reminded this day so especially of the thank you of this church. Not only this church, but the church as a whole, that we are one body in Christ. Help us to hear the message today, Lord, and realize that each and every part is so crucial to the body's operation. And that you alone are in control of all things. You have given your Spirit accordingly to give gifts to people so that they may serve the body of Christ, to bring glory and honor to you and draw others to salvation instead of an eternity apart from you. We thank you and praise you this day in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. So we've titled this message, The Body of Christ. And maybe you understood a little bit about that, the few verses, and we're going to go over that sections in Corinthians. But a body has many, many components. Like Debbie said earlier today, she said, I wasn't even missed. Ha ha ha. Feeling sorry for herself. And I said, you know what? If I lost my arm, I could still function. But it wouldn't be the same, would it? Because she can be an arm in the body. Or I said, my spleen, it's a little tiny organ. But it filters my blood and stuff and keeps me healthy so that I don't get infection and die. There's so many vital roles of every part of the body. And Debbie's a part of the body. And so is every one of you. Okay? Every single last one of you. God has put you into this church. God has given you the gifts that He's given you to serve His church for His glory, for His honor. He bought you back at the price of the death, the blood shed of His Son, so that you could live a victorious life, that you could live your life for Him to bring glory and honor to Him. I am so glad to be a part of this family of God. 1 Corinthians 12:27 reads, Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's read a couple other translations, and maybe you'll get a little different perspective. New Living Translation says, All of you together Because we have to put all those body parts together. They have to work accordingly, and they work accordingly to serve the whole body. All of you together are Christ's body. His body. Not just the body of Christ, but look at it as owning possession to it. We are Christ's body. He is no longer here on this earth. He has left us behind to be His physical body in this world. And not just individually, but collectively as brothers and sisters in Christ, sharing the same Spirit, the same bond with the same goal, serving the same Spirit, the same Savior, the same God. All of you together, Christ's body, and each of you, not some of you, each of you is a part of it. The English Standard Version says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, of Christ's body. The King James Version says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Each part is particular. It's different. Some things you may not like about that part, but without that part in the body, then it's not serving the body as a whole. With Jerry, we lost part of the body. So there are a lot of things that he did, a lot of ministry that he had, a lot of gifts from the Spirit. He picked up people. He was here during prayer service. He always gave of himself. He took on leadership roles where he needed to. He mowed. He did anything that he needed to do around here. So there's a void now. So God may be calling you to take some of those things and do those things. And you know what? He will give you the spiritual gifts that you need to do that. You can't say, well, I can't go to people's houses and pick them up, or I can't lead a Bible study. You're right, you can't. But God can, and He resides inside of you. So there's nothing that you can't do through Christ who gives you strength. That doesn't mean that we can fight this battle of cancer necessarily win it. It means that we can do all things through Christ who gives me strength to be a part of the body of Christ, to bring glory and honor to God, because the Spirit of God is what empowers us. Well, maybe it's not clear to you that Paul is talking about the church here. Maybe you just think he's talking about something else. Is the church really the body of Christ? Well, let's read the next verse. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God, He's the one who is placed in the church. Can't miss that out, can you? That's the body of Christ, the church. First of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kind of tongues. He gives the gifts to people so that they'll use those gifts together so that the body will function as a whole properly the way it's intended to function for God's will and God's purpose. The New Living Translation says, here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. Because my body has all kind of different components, and hopefully they all work together the way that the body is supposed to be designed to work. The English Standard Version says, and God has appointed in the church those parts. The King James Version says, and God hath set some in the church. So it's clear here that Paul is saying that the body of Christ is the church. He's not just simply giving an analogy. He's giving you a real life example that many components are necessary to have a body as a whole so that it will function properly. So that not one of us can say, I'm not needed. I don't have a part. I don't have to do my part. It'll go on without me. Whatever the reasons are, you all are an integral part, given power by God to fulfill the task that He has called you and appointed you to do in the church. God sent His only Son into the world to save the world from their sins, not to condemn the world, but to save them, so that we could be the very righteousness of God. What we couldn't do on our own, and never can do on our own, would always fall short. He saved us, He pardoned us, He set us free. He bought us back from a terrible, wretched state and set us on high that we might be the glory and righteousness of God now and forevermore. Not just in heaven, but now and forevermore. And He has appointed to each and every one of His children their role in the church. And He's equipped them with everything that they need to be equipped. I don't know where God is leading you or calling you to do in the church. And the church is not just this church body, it's the church as a whole. We just had the community worship service Friday. We didn't have a very big turnout, but one thing that I saw that changed and I was so thankful for is we had more pastors there than we normally have. So at least if the pastors are responding, which they should have been in the very first place, shame on them, and I hope they hear this sermon, that maybe now the sheep will respond because they will see what their pastors are doing. Everyone got a chance to speak, and there was unity there that was obvious. There was no division because of denomination or because of jealousy or anything else. It was a wonderful service, even though our numbers are still small. But see, if we come together, just think how efficiently that body will work, just as God planned it to be. Can you live without some of the parts of your body? Sure, I mentioned that earlier. Surprisingly, you can live with almost anything nowadays, because man is so far superior on his medical knowledge. But we're still not God, are we? We still have many things that we cannot even fathom the understanding of. And you can't believe in evolutionary processes or anything. I just think evolution is so ludicrous, because the very first living, breathing organism that the life is in the blood, when they scratched their little finger or tentacle or whatever it was, wing at that time of evolution, they would bleed to death, wouldn't they? But see, God designed us perfectly so that our blood clots, because He knew that the life was in the blood. I've already said you can live without your spleen. You can live without your lungs. You can be put on a ventilator. You can live without your heart. You can have a heart pump your blood. You can live without your brain. You can be brain dead, but your body's still functioning. But you can't live without blood. Because the Bible says it back in Leviticus 17:14. It says that the life of every creature is in the blood. That was written thousands of years ago before medical science had any clue of it. And you know, they still don't have an artificial replacement for blood. They might have some things that can last a little bit that'll help temporarily, but without blood, you will die. But see, here's the thing. Jesus, Messiah, name above all names. Blessed Redeemer. Emmanuel, God with us. He shed His blood so that you could live. Wow. Think of that. That's how much God loves each and every one of you. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Not one of us here can say, "I'm righteous," because we know that we've all sinned. Some more than others, but that's okay. Some less than others, but that's okay. None of us is perfect except Jesus. And all we have to do is believe in His name, and we take on His perfection. All we have to do is believe in Jesus, and we are pardoned from our sin and shame. All we have to do is believe in Jesus, and we are His brother and eternal heir of God, His child, His precious child, now and forevermore. Romans 3:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." The blood will flow out, life will cease to exist in our mortal bodies. But also, eternally, we will spend an eternal death, eternal separation from God, our Father in heaven. I'm not going to get into hell and how terrible it is, but it's the absence of God in everything that is good. You think this life can be miserable at times, and it is? Just think of a life without God. He's still in control, everyone. He still smiles down on His children. He still gives the blessings that they need. He still gives them discipline that they need as well. Because, see, we do need it sometimes. And when we do face death, and we can look at Jerry as a fine example of that, before he found out that he had cancer, he got a little ornery, didn't he, John? Didn't know why. And we questioned and everything. And then he didn't spend some time with us. Then we found out he had cancer. Well, once he found out cancer, instead of getting ornerier, he got peace. Because he knew exactly where he was going. And he gave some assignments to different people to say, "Hey, will you pick up Bill? Will you take on this Bible study? Will you do this and that?" And God, will you let me make it to Marie's birthday? And his father answered all those prayers. And then some. Because he was a child of God. That's what we get to look forward to. He went in total, total peace. We have been bought by the blood of the Lamb to become a child of God. Called to be a holy people. To have a purpose. Not to live our life for our own. Henry asked me today if I wanted to go to Restorium service, because I guess it's just going to be him and Verna. And Sherry said, do you want to go? I said, no. I don't want to go. I want to spend my day doing whatever I want to do. But my brother asked me if I would come. So that's probably where I'll be. And I know that if I'm obedient to that, that those blessings will far outweigh any fishing I had planned today or anything else. Because it's what he would lead me to do. And that would uplift my brother just as much that I would be willing to come be with him. Because see, we share that bond. We share that same goal. To bring glory and honor to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Empowered by the Spirit. To help us make it through this world. We are individually children of God, but we are collectively the body of Christ. If you want to turn to Ephesians 2, if you have it in your Bible, I want to go through Ephesians 2. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to read this to you, and maybe something will just stick out that God's saying through His Word, because it is living. Every time you read it, you'll see something that you didn't see before. It'll prick your heart if you let it, if you go in with the openness that, what are you trying to tell me from your Word, God? And it starts out, as for you, as for Alan, as for Jacob, as for Emily, you're right here in my first view. Put your name in there. Okay? As for Alan, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us used to live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And God's wrath too now, not man's wrath. But, complete opposite, because of His great love for us, God, not anyone else, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive, a living, breathing organism. Individually, yes, we have new life, but collectively as a church, that body is breathing and alive. And people see the church. They see what it does wrong. They see what it does right. If we're living a life bringing glory and honor to God, that's what they're going to see. Instead of seeing division, instead of seeing hypocrisy, instead of seeing hatred, let them see the things that the Spirit gives us. Let them see love, joy, peace, compassion. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, when we were enemies. It is by grace that you, Alan, have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. What? God raised us up with Christ and seated us with His only Son in the heavenly realms, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace. Nothing on this earth will compare to them. Expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that you can boast. For we are God's handiwork, His creation. Just as He created our physical bodies and made everything perfect with all those organs and parts that we need to function properly, He did the same thing with the church. We are His handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcision by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. See, God called the Israelites to be His chosen people. We had no hope whatsoever. But then He grafted us in. He decided to bring us into the family of God. Verse 12, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away, Alan, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, that blood which defines life. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one single unit, one family, one working whole entity made up of many parts, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law which it commands and its regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, the church, thus making peace, and in one body, notice the terminology there, and it's the same terminology that we use throughout the New Testament, same word, no difference from our physical body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members, just like members of the body, all individual parts with different purposes. We're also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you also, every last one of you, are being built together with me, whether you like it or not, to be a part of this family, this working unit, to become a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit. So I need to get over any indifferences that I have, and I need to learn as Jesus loved, to learn to love like that. To learn to love even my enemies. That's why He says that early on in His teachings. Because I can't hate my neighbor and love my God who had compassion among all people. We were all His enemies. And said, I'm going to reconcile you if you'll simply believe by putting my Son on a cross and letting Him shed His blood to save you. So how can I hate my neighbor? Let alone how can I hate my brother and sister in Christ or have indifferences that I can't bring to reconciliation. So the scripture this morning was from 1 Corinthians. Paul's writing this letter to the church in Corinth, to the body of believers, but they've got a lot of problems that's going on. Maybe you'll take time to read the letter. I want to go through just a little bit of it so you can understand. He has been there and taught them, and they have embraced salvation, and they have started their unity with a church empowered by the Spirit. But they've got sidetracked. They've got deceived by the devil. And they're not functioning as the body of Christ should function. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, to the church. It is to the church. That's who this letter is written to this body, to this living, breathing organism made up of many individuals. The church of God, remember that. God called you. God set you aside. God offered you salvation, mercy, and grace rather than punishment and shame. To the church of God in Corinth, not to the building, to the people. We want to say this is the church. This is the church. This is a building where we meet. Doesn't matter where we meet. This is God's church, His body. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus, that's who He's calling the church here. They're sanctified, which means set apart, made holy through Christ. And they're called to be His holy people to live that out. Not only are you sanctified and made holy, but you've got to live it. You've got to show it to the world so that they can see it. Together with all those everywhere, with these other churches, that as long as they proclaim salvation through Jesus Christ, we share the same bond. We are united together as brothers and sisters who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, what I just said, their Lord and ours. If you skip down a few verses, verse 7, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift. There's no reason that you say you cannot be an active part of this body of Christ, an active part of the whole body of Christ, because you do not lack any spiritual gift. As you eagerly wait for your Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, that's the end result of our salvation. That's our home for eternity in heaven. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, this church, these body of believers were running astray. And he's saying that if we realize the spiritual gift we have and apply the spiritual gifts we have, lean to that power of the Spirit, get rid of the other and let the Spirit indwell us, that he'll keep us firm to the end, to that day when we recognize and the world recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 9, God is faithful who has called you, each and every one of you, into fellowship together with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We skip down a few more verses in verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. See, the world finds it foolish. Just ask the world who Jesus is. You'll get tons of different answers from, well, he was a good prophet, till they can't stand the name of Jesus. But if we live out that brotherly love, that compassion and everything, it'll get through to them. But if we're hypocritical, judgmental, full of hatred, they'll never want a part of this church. Many of us have been hurt that way. We understand that. And that's why we've got to let the Spirit empower us to live holy lives, loving one another as Christ loved us. We preach Christ crucified, verse 23, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, you and I, Jews and Gentiles or Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ lives through you by the power of His Spirit that God has given you, that has sealed you for the day, the coming day, and empowers you for everything you need now. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 17, for no one can lay any foundation other than what is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has built survives, the builder will receive a reward. You will be rewarded for the service that you do, for being faithful and just letting the Spirit of God live through you. Not, you didn't do anything except be submissive, become the vessel. But you'll be rewarded for that. Verse 15, if it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as an escaping through the flames. Don't you know you yourself are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together, don't forget that part, don't miss that part, are that temple. You were never meant to face this world as a single Christian. You were made to face this world as the body of Christ. Because other people have things that you need. You ever wonder why your spouse is so different than you? You ever think God's got a funny sense of humor there? But you know what? Your spouse probably has things that you don't have. That's why they're so different from you. But together they can complete you and make you one, just as God intended and designed. Skipping to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 23, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. blessings here on earth. Do you know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike blow to my body, my physical body, the same word again. I put it into training. I do whatever's necessary. It's painful. It hurts. But I know that it is training me up to fight this race. It's making me stronger. The pain and suffering that I'm going through to compete is making me stronger so that I can run that race better and hopefully win the prize. And it goes on to say, and make it my slave. The NLT says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. So that applies to me individually. It applies to us collectively. That the body should be in training. We should be practicing to be more efficient. Then we went into chapter 12. Before chapter 12, Paul gets into some other things that they're doing wrong. And one of the things that they're doing wrong is they realize that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. But they don't understand the pride and the arrogance and the self-centeredness. And they say, I want the best gifts. I don't want to be part of the church and do these things if I can't have the best gifts. I want this. I want tongues. I want to be able to do that because people can see my gift. Well, see, that's not any part of serving. That's not how Jesus lived at all. He humbly gave up his authority in heaven to come to earth, to the creation that he created. And then he laid down his life for that creation. The last example that he gave his disciples was humbly washing their feet, a job that no one else would want to do. And he said, is this example I've done for you, do this for others. So why in the world were they seeking to have a gift that would be showy? Why weren't they seeking a gift of any other type of service? Because they still hadn't emptied themselves of I. So then we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation starting in verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. See, don't focus on the ones you think you have or the things you want, and especially if what you want is prideful. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit giving them. So if He gives me this gift and gives you a different gift, that's because you need that gift to complete what gift I have, and so does the other person. He knows what He's doing. He's in control, and it's to bring God glory and honor. The same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, so let's be clear of that. But we serve the same Lord. That's why we serve. We don't come to church to be served. I hear that so many times. I'm not getting out of church what I need to get out of it. Well, maybe you should start giving and then you'll get. Because we're supposed to be, those who want to be the greatest need to become servants of all. But we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways. With different individuals, with different gifts, with different acts of service. But it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Oops, I can't play scapegoat there, can I? That I don't have one or anything. Nope. So that we can what? Help each other. Not so that I can bring myself glory or honor, but so that I can help someone else. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person would have. When we've been studying in Luke, what did Jesus say when His disciples first asked Him to pray? He said to keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, because your Father eventually, if you're asking in His will, He'll say, okay, son, I hear you, I will give you. And what did He say He'll give you? His Spirit. So if you want the gift of this Spirit, not because of anything you want, but because you need to minister to this person over here, and you need that gift to minister to them, and you're in tune with God's Spirit, guess what? He'll probably answer your prayer. Because that's how the body works. And right now, like I said, we've got a loss of a body member, whether it's our arm or not. So we need some people to fill in. Maybe someone will fill in the whole arm. Maybe someone will fill in this part of the arm. Someone else will fill in the hand. Someone else will fill in the bone structure. I don't know. Polly and Merle started coming to this church simply because Jerry asked them to come. And on the day that they came, they came late. They came at the end. But Merle was going to go to the Baptist church and said, there's nothing wrong with that. But because Jerry, a member of this body, said, come here, they came. He was reaching out in love, being an active part of this body. And now we have two beautiful people here as part of this body. The body will not function properly without all of its organs. Sure, it might survive. It will survive. It survived for thousands of years. It will survive until Jesus comes back and takes His church home. But we are called to live a holy life. We are called to serve. We are called to be stewards of the gifts that the Spirit has given us. Paul goes on with this example in verse 12. The human body has many parts. He says, maybe you don't understand this. So he gives this teaching. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Get that clear. It's exactly the same thing. All parts, all integral to God's design. You may not know what that purpose is. For years in medical science, we had no idea what this and that was. And the biggest thing that we thought was wrong with people is they had bad blood. We tried to pull their blood out, right? And kill them. Because we did not understand that. God designed our human bodies and He designed the church. And you are a part of it. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. Paul states it again. Yes, the body has different parts. He states it again. Not just one part. Then he gives this example, which is funny, ludicrous, but put yourself in his shoe, and I guarantee you, literally, because he says a foot, shoe, that you've done this before, right? If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body, does it? If I say I'm not part of the body because I don't have the gift that she has, I'm just being silly, just like this foot is. And first of all, I don't think this foot would have said a word, would it? So we maybe should learn that and keep silent a little bit more. So that's not a good example. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? So he gives two examples. No, that's silly. We understand that. But we don't understand it when he's applying it to us spiritually as the body of Christ. We get offended easily. We think we're not equipped, which we are, which is a slap in God's face because He gave us His Spirit to equip us fully for everything we need. If the whole body were an eye, how would it hear? It would see great, but it couldn't hear anything, could it? And could you imagine just one big eye walking around? Okay? Or if the whole body was an ear, how would it smell anything then? But, complete opposite, our bodies have many parts. And who's put each part just where He wants it? God. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. So Paul says it again if you don't get it. Yes, there are many parts. But, complete opposite, complete and total opposite, there is only one body. That means, yes, you're an individual part, but you make up one body. The point here is one living organism, the church, which we talked about earlier, to be used for God's glory till the day of redemption. Verse 21, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the part we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So, God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for more harmony among the members, each and every individual part, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body. And each individual person, put your name in there, is a part of that body. So we hope that Jerry would be here today, because he is the reason that Polly and Merle came here. But it's not coincidence that we're going to do something today. And, you know, he may be watching it, where if he was at home still, he couldn't see it. But he may be watching it now from heaven. Polly wants to become a member of the church to show her obedience to God. And we're going to do that today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the day that the church started. The day that we saw 12 ordinary men. Well, 11 at this point, because Matthias hadn't been replaced yet at this point. Become great men of God. And we've seen in a land of persecution, of turmoil, of Roman occupation, they wanted to stamp out Christ. We saw the church thrive and flourish. What could we do if we relied on the Spirit like on that day of Pentecost? What could we do in this world today? What a difference we could make and bring glory and honor to God and receive eternal rewards in heaven. Not worried about the things of this world, which mean nothing, but to be thankful for God who has redeemed us and called us into adoption as His child, if we would just live that way. And that's what Polly wants to make known today. She said she's tired of just sitting around and saying she's not a part of. And I'm like, well, you know, that's perfect. Because we have a sermon on unity with the Ministerial Association for Community Worship. It's great because it's Jerry's birthday. I didn't even tell her that it was Pentecost Sunday. God's put all these things together. So, Polly, will you come up? And, Polly, we're going to plug this too. That means if the Lord is calling on any of you to become members, and you have been fearing to do that, for whatever the reason is, maybe this will prick your heart today. Becoming a member is something that is privileged. It is something that God designed and ordained. Are you coming too? Or are you coming to be with her?
No, I'm coming too.
It's a privilege. It is something that God has called us to do. It's not just saying it's a country club membership where I get these benefits or anything. It says, God, I understand your plan, your design, and I want to be used by you. Just like we get baptized to show our public profession of faith, we also become members to show this church that I am committed to this church. You're not committing to the Free Methodist. You're committing to Springs of Living Water Free Church, Free Methodist Church. You are committing to the Methodist Church because they stand for ideals that are godly. You are committing to the church as a whole for those people that are a part of that, they're part of the family of God. You're saying, I want to be a part of that family. I thank you for that privilege of adoption, and I want to make it public. So it's a covenant, just like a marriage covenant. It's not saying that God won't lead you to another church at another time or anything like that, but I'm here now, And I want everyone to recognize that I am a part of this body, that I want to be used by this body, that I'm not going to be held back. And we're just as accountable to them, to pray for them, to care for them just the same, because they're committing to us, to this church. They're not looking around anymore. They've said, this is home, and we're going to make it official. Members of the Free Methodist Church, trusting in the enablement of the Holy Spirit and seeking the support of other members of the church, make the following confession and commitments as a covenant with the Lord and the church. We confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. By faith we walk with Him. We commit ourselves to know Him and His full sanctifying grace. As regards God, as God's people, we reverence and worship Him. We commit ourselves to cultivate habits of Christian devotion, submitting to mutual accountability, practicing private and corporate prayer, studying the Scriptures, attending public worship, and partaking in His Holy Communion. We commit ourselves to observe the Lord's Day, setting it apart for worship, renewal, and service. We commit ourselves to give our loyalty to Christ and the church, refraining from any alliance which compromises our Christian commitment. This we do by God's grace and power. As a people, we live wholesome and holy lives and show mercy to all, ministering to both their physical and spiritual needs. We commit ourselves to be free from activities and attitudes that defile the mind and harm the body, or promote the same. We commit ourselves to respect the worth of all persons as created in the image of God. We commit ourselves to strive to be just as honest in our relationships and dealings. This we do by God's grace and power. As a people, we honor and support the God-ordained institutions of family, state, and church. We commit ourselves to honor the sanctity of marriage and the family. We commit ourselves to value and nurture children, guiding them to faith in Christ. We commit ourselves to seek to be responsible citizens, and we pray for all who lead. This we do by God's grace and power. As God's people, we express the life of Christ in the world. We commit ourselves to contribute to unity in the church, cultivating integrity, love, and understanding in all relationships. We commit ourselves to practice the principles of Christian stewardship for the glory of God and the growth of the church. We commit ourselves to go into the world and make disciples. This we do by God's grace and power. Do you agree to that? Does the church agree to support them? Okay. I have a certificate for you, but I'll get you one. And we'll give it to John so that he has it on file. Now, you remember this?
Yeah.
This came from the Holy Land.
Yeah.
Not a coincidence. When I was with my brother Merle, and my brother John, and my brother Jerry. And they got me this anointing oil so that I could anoint. Biblically, there is no precedent for New Testament anointing, but there's no biblical not to. Anointing is a sign of setting apart for God's service. So I anoint you, Polly, with oil. And I anoint you, Merle. Setting you apart for God's glory, for His design, for His purpose. And I am so thankful and grateful that you guys have come into this church and want to proclaim your allegiance to the church. Thank you. If anyone would like to come up and pray, I would like to pray over them. For anyone who would like to come up, we'll pray collectively. Come down here and you've got plenty of people coming to support you. I'll pray out loud and you guys just pray silently. Father, we do thank you so much for this body. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the example that Christ lived on this earth, that He was willing to give up everything for your purpose, for your will. He gave up heaven to come to this earth, not to just teach and leave, but to die an agonizing death, to be humiliated, to be mocked by the creation that He created. And what did He say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, He had to take upon the sins of all mankind and be separated from you, O God, and you accepted His sacrifice. He rose again, giving us life. We thank You for Your Spirit, for Your love. We pray that the Spirit is upon this place like never before. We pray that we will be obedient members to this body, obedient to Your call, to bring glory and honor to You. Not to increase numbers or anything, but to spread the gospel message. If our numbers don't increase any at all, Father, all we care about is bringing glory and honor to You and telling others of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That our light may shine so that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And we thank You so much for this couple. We thank You for Polly's spirit of love, her anxious and willingness to serve. It's just contagious and it's so beautiful. And Father, we thank You for the unexpected surprise of Merle coming today also. He's such a blessing. We thank You for our brother Jerry, who has brought many people to this church, who has been an example and a light. May we remember him by being obedient also, by bringing glory and honor to Him, by carrying on and doing the things that He so graciously did for You, Father. That He didn't do them out of obligation or anything else. He did them because He loved. Help us to love one another as Christ loved. To love our enemies and especially love each other. To uplift each other. To not gossip and ridicule. But to love each other unconditionally. When we have any problems or disagreements, Lord, help us to take them to each other and to take them to Jesus and let Him take those burdens from us. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to make us whole. We thank You for this beautiful couple and their love for You. And we just pray as a church that we are obedient and loving and uplift them in all the things that they need. May we bring glory and honor to You, Father. For You are the one worthy and the Lamb that has given us the way, that has shown us what it is like to be like Christ, that gives us the example and not orphaned us, but left us with the power of the Spirit to seal us and guide us home. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 I need to say something real quick. I know you and Bob were actually pretty much the first people I talked to when he came to this church. And you have been a big influence in my spiritual learning. And when I opened my Bible just a little while ago,
this little card was the first one that I saw. It says, "Today I choose to live the life I've always wanted to live, to be the person God wants me to be." You mean that to me? Before I went on my walk, I just wanted to say thank you. And I love you. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it.
So we will be doing a class. We don't have to do a class, but we'll go over some of the things. You'll be amazed once you start learning more about the Free Methodists, the love that they have for this world. They're stronger in other countries than they are here, but they are a witnessing people. We are part of a witnessing church, and we'll get to learn some of that. So I challenge you, if you're not a member, to become a part. Don't go against God's plan and design. Come, join. I know that you come regularly. I know it doesn't make any difference, but it does. It lets us know that we have your love and support, that you're committed to us, and it lets you know that we're just as committed to you. So if you're interested, grab a book, be reading about it. we'll get together and do the course. There are 2015 and 2011 books here. Take the 15 book first. But if you get an 11 book, if you there others are gone, don't worry about it. They're so minor changes that it doesn't matter. And then we'll get together and do course. And anyone wants to join, right now we will. Or if you want to later, come see me. Because each and every one of you are part of this family. By God's design, not by ours, to bring Him glory and honor. So let's close the sermon in prayer, and then I don't know who's doing the closing song. Father, we do thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You that You didn't orphan us, that You gave us the Spirit to just bring us joy like we've never felt, to teach us Your Word. May we spend time in prayer seeking You and the answers that You have for us, the gifts that You want to give us to use for Your glory and honor. May we be obedient when we hear the Spirit's calling. And may we bring glory and honor to You. I pray especially for this community also. I'm seeing some hope of uniting together, not to bring denominational walls down, but to spend more time as a body of Christ to make a bigger impact in our world. Lord, help us to love as Christ loved. And we just thank You and praise You on this Lord's Day. We thank You for the church. We thank You for Jerry. We thank You for all of the obedient servants that You have in this church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with me, please.